Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello, everybody, again to the Anti-Pattern Podcast. Together with me in Mannheim is again Christian. Hello. This is already our 17th episode.
Really? 17th?
17th, yeah. Whoa. So we started with that in January, as you guys know, right? And today is the 17th episode. We sit in the podcast studio here in our Muffinex Startup Center. It's really cloudy today. It's really cloudy. So we joke about the weather all the time in our podcast usually, because Germans do not do small talk, right? So the weather is usually not a topic at all. Right. And we kind of do the opposite here. So it's cloudy. How are you, Christian?
What's new? Oh, I'm pretty good. We had a great start into the week, I would say.
Yeah, true.
Cannot talk too much about it, but yeah.
Successful start into the week. True. Yeah, and last episode was also pretty successful. We already had a couple of customers, potential customers, reaching out to us to schedule their demo date with us. Please, if you are interested in our solution, schedule directly with us. We have this little QR code on our flyers, right, where people can directly jump to our Outlook and then look into our calendar and see where they can basically schedule and then take a slot from us. So this is really good. And today is more about when are we actually helpful, right? Because I was asked, how do you identify customers, right? Who is actually someone you would target as a customer, or the other way around? What needs to be there at the customer end that you guys are actually helpful?
Yeah, right. And what we are doing today is we are going through a couple of points. It's a spectrum between two extremes, or an opposite word pair. And we discuss where or on which side we see each other more than the other. For example, B2B versus B2C.
Yeah. So in other words, we come up with two pairs that are basically opposite words, right? And we kind of navigate through it and say, okay, where are we leaning towards to? And your example is B2B, B2C. So what about it?
Yeah, I think there is quite a small likeliness that we are really helpful in a B2C scenario. So maybe if we have a free for personal use version somewhere, we might have some geeks who would like to use it for whatever in their home or for their personal work. But yeah, most likely is that we have a B2B setting.
Definitely. I would say 99.9%.
Yes.
Something like this. So exactly. It's pretty, pretty clear that we do B2B use cases, right? And that we are a B2B company. That's pretty, pretty clear. For the other word pairs that we identified, it's not that clear. Right? Mm-hmm. We can end up somewhere on the spectrum, right? Or lean towards one of the extremes, so to say.
Yeah.
And the first actual word pair that we came up with is ETO versus CTO, engineer to order, configure to order. Just to, you know, give you an understanding what the abbreviation stands for. What do you think, Christian? Where do we find ourselves here?
It's not that clear like it was in B2B and B2C, definitely, because most likely I would expect that majority of our customers will be more on the CTO side. But okay. I can imagine also customers who have quite a complexity, but we'll talk about that in a minute, which leads also ETO to a use case where we can be really helpful.
True, true. So, and just to rephrase it, so there is also something in between, right? People talk about CTO plus, and there's a lot of other stuff in between, right? But I guess what we can say is when a customer is purely ETO, which means he starts his CAD workstation for each order, then we are likely not the best choice. When he has some modular approach, right, some stuff that he wants to reuse, even if it's not the complete technical system, right, then we are going to be helpful, right? So some kind of some understanding of reusing modules would help. because our software is made for managing this and not just pump data from a CAD workstation into the production, right? Mm-hmm. You could use it that way, but it's not the most likely use case.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I could imagine if you have an ETO use case where the downstream processes are very complex. It's very complex to...
Right.
Not really to assemble, but maybe to maintain. Order, maintain, and many different systems are connected or mm-hmm. need a common set of data.
Right.
Then I could imagine also use cases there.
True. Yeah, and that also leads to basically the next point, and that is complexity in terms of product complexity. So how complex is the product itself, the technical system itself, and process complexity. Right, and some people may take this offensive if I say your process and your product is low complexity. Engineers take that personal. So there is no complete, easy products in the market. That's for sure. But also here the question is, where do we lean towards low complexity versus high complexity? Where do we see us?
I think in high complex environments, it's a no-brainer that a system like we are offering is helpful. So that's the simple answer.
Yeah. The higher the complexity, the more we actually can show how good our solution is compared to what's out there.
Exactly. Yeah. Or to say it in other words, as less it is likely that you can manage your product with Excel.
the better it is to use our platform.
Exactly.
True. Okay. So this is I'm talking about complexity, and also part of complexity is basically the processes, right? And the question related to it, how special are you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, do you have a few special processes that you don't find in any, static standardized software, right? Or do you have a lot of those processes where you say, oh, we're pretty much unique, that we are the only ones that we know of that do it in a certain way, right? So in other words, few special processes versus a numerous number of special processes,
And if you have a big number of special processes, the flexibility in our system is your choice.
Yeah, definitely. And you can use the system to configure, extend what's coming from the standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make it really fit to your needs, right? So then we can really show how beneficial it is to use our platform. If you say, oh, we're completely standard, we follow ISO 15.2, whatever it is, as it is written down, right? Then you will not see that benefit that obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to say. Right. And then looking into the product again, I wrote down, and sorry for my bad handwriting here, I wrote down hardware-based versus pure software products. Doesn't mean that hardware does not contain any software in it, but there are, let's say, that separation between something that has hardware and something that is a pure software product.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we stand?
Definitely on the hardware side.
Yeah.
So if you have a pure software product, you already have systems comparable to what we are offering, but they are named differently. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the software industry is far ahead in these things. So manufacturing on the hardware side is like a build server and a deployment server or a whole CI/CD pipeline on the software side. And this is working really well. And we experience it by ourselves that these things are really, really well maintained. And so we are definitely more on the hardware.
On the hardware-based side of things, which, funny enough, does not just mean, and this was another question that people asked me, does that mean that you're always looking for discrete manufacturing customers?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is, well, maybe that's currently the focus, because basically most of the customers we had in the past were coming from that domain, true, but there is also the process side of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Process companies, chemistry, pharma, right? Those kind of companies. They also have industrial product data that we would like to manage with our tool, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the case that two of us are not experts in that area. We are more leaning towards the discrete manufacturing side.
But we know what a recipe is.
We know what a recipe is, right? And the difference between bomb and recipe in current implementations is usually way too big. Could be closer together, right? But it's a different story. And also true for material and ingredient, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so definitely needs to be some hardware component. But you talked about ALM, right? We also learn from existing ALM systems because there's a lot of stuff in there that we can implement on the hardware side as well, right?
Yep.
Where we can learn from. big difference between what we do and what ALM systems are doing is structure management. It's in our, please correct me if I'm wrong, but in our world, hardware, the structural component and managing of management of structures is complex, and it's something where you have to be really, really good at. Software, the complexity is not so much in the structure, it's more in the functionality of the software.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Yeah, yeah. Generally speaking, yes. Of course, there are scenarios where you have also configurable parts of different software parts and software modules. But this is a little bit going in the direction what we find in hardware, but yeah.
Okay, so structure management plays a big role. This is what we bring to the table, and this is why we focus on, of course, something that's hardware-based, but that does not mean that it does not contain any software. That's, right. You know, there's nothing out there anymore that does not contain any software. Right, and then next point, and this comes from the whole MBC, model-based systems engineering discussion. What's the difference between document-based approaches and model-based approaches, right? So if we could categorize our platform in that two extremes, what do you think, where do we stand?
Definitely on the model side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So already thinking about our last episodes where we talked about the meta model and the data model, you already have a feeling what it means for us to be model-based and bringing processes and product data on a model-based foundation.
Yeah, yeah, makes total sense to me. And then the question for me would be, what does it mean for the customer, right? So my feeling would be, or my wish for customers out there would be, that there is already some kind of understanding that model-based approaches are beneficial, and that pure document-based approach where you say, okay, every document loaded to the system, but we don't look into the content, right? We don't look into it. It's a black box for us. That approach is, you know, a little bit outdated, right? Because you cannot, that fine granular management of data is not possible then. And this is what we don't want, right? We want to look into it, right? And get, you know, more fine granular pieces of information out of it, right? And this is why we say model-based is today definitely beneficial. And document-based is still around. Of course, we still have documents somewhere, of course, but yeah, if you don't have a model behind it, it's actually not that helpful.
Yeah.
Right. So we lean towards model-based, right? And then yeah, complexity. It's always about complexity. Few variants versus many variants.
Yeah. Good clear, question. Clear for me, the more variants you have, the better or... Yeah, better use our system.
If you need to configure it, if you produce, and I mean, basically it was already in the discussion when we talked about ETO or CTO, right? CTO means, right, you configure modules that are already existing, and, you know, those modules, you know, basically are variants to each other, so to say, not all of them, but some of them. So yes, of course, the more variants you have, the more helpful we are. But still, doesn't mean if you are producing one good at a time, you're one product company, there's not so many of them out there anymore, then if the process or the structure itself is highly complex, then still we would be beneficial, right? But if variants are also one driver for your complexity, then the more you have, the more obvious the benefits that we can offer are getting.
Right?
So yes, definitely.
Yeah. And you already see it when you're talking about variability model,
right.
Or again, in the model-based area, and then all these things.
Right, right. So model-based, cool. Document-based, not so cool, but it is the way that it is. And last but not least, I wrote down one thing, and I marked it with little lightning signs next to it. This is the tricky question.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we fit better, in a heterogeneous IT landscape or a homogeneous IT landscape? Or different words for the same thing? Heterogeneous brownfield approaches, homogeneous greenfield approaches? Why is it tricky? I marked it as tricky.
Wouldn't compare it with brown greenfield. So it is tricky. Yeah, it's tricky because going into a heterogeneous IT landscape could also be kind of painful because you need a lot of integrations, which might be the case, but you don't. Maybe the problem the actual problem is that you don't have integrations into your systems. But also, if you have a tidy, homogeneous IT landscape, that could mean that all engineering tools are connected to your PDM system and all manufacturing or business-related tools are tightly connected to your SAP system. If these two systems do not speak to each other, you also have a problem. So I couldn't say we are on the one or the other extreme.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. And what I wanted to add, why is it tricky? It's also tricky because I have never experienced a really in the best sense of a word homogeneous IT landscape. I've never seen it, right? Even if people talk about it, oh, we only use one tool and we use that tool for everything, it's never true, right? And even if you only use one tool, if it's configured in the wrong way, if the data models are not consistent to each other, if the modules of that tool are not consistent, which is usually the case, by the way, then you also have a problem, right? So the whole discussion about heterogeneous versus homogeneous, I guess, leads into a wrong direction to some extent. But what we can say is if you already have existing solutions that you do not want to sunset, that you do not want to migrate out of, right, then our solution is better fit in that scenario than other solutions because we are open, we are flexible, we can fill the gaps in between, and we don't have to migrate you out of an existing tool, right, and run those big, gigantic IT migration projects, so it's not that you have to do this big bang all the time, right? It's you can consume the elephant in slices, right? This is how we say it, and this is, I guess, a benefit of us because we are flexible, because we're so open. We can more easily fill the gaps in your existing IT landscape,
right?
But the two extremes are not really good. So next time I write something else down, let's see. So this is, you know, where do we find or where do we stand, right? And just to summarize, and I have my cheat sheet with me, so just to summarize, because the question came up, what are potential or what are best fitting customers for you guys, right? And it's not so easy to say, oh, it's always machinery, right? It's always customers coming from the machine industry. It's not true, right?
It's always automotive in Germany.
Or in Germany, it's usually automotive or automotive suppliers, right? It's not true to just say there's this one market or this one segment that we are focusing on. Basically speaking, we are a very good fit for industrial product data. This is where it starts, industrial product data. Where, I do have this on the second slide, second page here, where B2B use cases, where industrial product data of medium to high complexity needs to be connected and managed, first thing. Where the products are not purely software-based, but definitely software-defined. So that means it's not just hardware with no software in it. It's the other way around. There is some hardware in it, then it makes sense. Where there is an understanding that purely document-based approaches are outdated, and where the existing IT landscape calls for brownfield solutions that are not introduced in a big bang, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the whole thing with ETO and CTO, the more there is an understanding that you need to have a modular approach, modular building blocks that you reconfigure for each order, right? The more likely it is that our solution is beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that means I hope that helps people to understand where is our segment, right? Where is the market that we're heading for, right? Or that we are looking after. And if you are, you know, part of that market, you know, do your research, join us in one of our demo meetings, join us in one of the conferences that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, thank you very much for listening in. See you. Talk to you next time.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.